Good morning. Today's reading comes from a few different ones. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 26, Revelations 19, 1 through 21. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out your flesh of heart of stone, and give you the heart of flesh. After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice and great multitude in heaven crying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and the power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great herald who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And from the throne came a voice crying, Praise our God, all of you, his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of great multitude, like the sounds of many waters, like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like the flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has the name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He is clad in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him on the white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp sword, which to smite the nations, he will roll them with a rod of iron. And he will tread wine when pressed the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On this robe and on his thigh, his name is described King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had worked the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword of him who sits upon the horse and the sword that issues from his mouth, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever woken up in the morning with one plan for your day, only to have something happen and all of a sudden whatever plans you had just aren't going to happen? That happened to me this past week. On Wednesday, I woke up thinking that I was going to spend most of the day preparing for our podcast recording that we do on Wednesday afternoon. But around 10 a.m. that morning, I got a text message from my friend Alan, one of the pastors that's working with Carissa and I for the podcast and for the sermon series. Alan told me that his cardiologist had found a 95% blockage in one of his coronary arteries and a pretty significant blockage in the other one as well. He was on his way to the hospital where they were going to put in two stents in the blocked artery, and he was likely going to have to go back to the hospital in a couple weeks to have a stent put in the other one. God is giving him a new heart. But this whole process has been really frightening to observe. Alan told me that they only learned that his artery had a 95% blockage as the cardiologist was putting the stent in. It was bad, very bad. See, my friend Alan is only 48 years old. He didn't have a heart attack, but he came as close to having one as you can. It was really frightening to watch, and it was frightening because he's in New Jersey and I am here in Pittsburgh. Over the weekend, I had a chance to talk with Alan and see how the surgery went and all of that. He said the surgery went fine, but he got a very stern lecture from his cardiologist. See, before this incident happened, his cardiologist has been telling him that he needs to lose weight. He needs to modify his diet. He doesn't exercise enough. All of these problems that were already there got worse during the quarantine. Also, Alan has a family history of heart disease. His father passed away from a heart attack in his 60s. But Alan told me instead of making changes, he made excuses. I'll start exercising again when my gym opens back up. I'll start eating healthier after the quarantine. New Jersey's still under basically a stay-at-home order. He was like, what else am I supposed to do while I'm at home but eat? He knew that he needed to change, but he didn't want to. Does this sound familiar? Friends, by now you should know that the book of Revelation is serious. Some would say as serious as a heart attack. Nobody wants to change, and we all dig in our heels when somebody suggests that we need to. I think this is why Revelation confronts us with such crazy, violent images. I think that's also why, as we saw last week, it offers satire in the form of the whore of Babylon. The reason that John gives us these images is he's trying to stir the seven congregations out of their complacency. He's shouting, "Wake up! Repent!" This is a message that we too need to hear. We are all complacent. We are all resistant to change. We all want other people to change, but not us. I saw a meme on Facebook this week that kind of gets at what John is trying to say here. I think it said something along the lines of how to frighten the new generation. Put them in a room with a rotary phone, an analog watch, and a TV with no remote. Then write the directions for how to use these things in cursive. Now, I will admit, when I first read this meme, it didn't make any sense to me. I don't know what a rotary phone is or an analog watch, and every TV that I have used has had a remote. I do think they taught me cursive in elementary school, but I don't really use it in my daily life. And now, the point of this is to illustrate that different generations are adept at using different means of communication. And I think this pandemic has taught the church that the church is particularly slow at adapting to new means of technology. And unfortunately, sometimes we use antiquated means of communication. And unfortunately, since communication has become so divided along generational lines, we're missing whole generations of people when we refuse to adapt to their technologies. Now, I will say, this pandemic has taught me, as a younger person, that the human voice is better than text messages, and that relationships are best when we engage face to face. Unfortunately, though, this pandemic has also taught me that some of our usual means of communicating we just can't do right now, and that communication is actually key to being and staying in relationship with people. Our reading for today sketches out a vision of what this could look like. It shows the destruction of the enemies of the faithful, the whore of Babylon, the beast, and all of the false prophets. Chapter 19 of Revelation shows the vindication of all those who keep the faith, even if doing so cost them their lives. This chapter reminds us that the enemies of God will never have the final say. Chapter 19 begins with this image of a heavenly choir, voices of multitudes of people shouting, "Hallelujah!" They shout hallelujah four times as they offer praise to God and to the Lamb. As you're reading this passage, if you're hearing Handel's Hallelujah Choir as Kathy was doing the reading, you aren't wrong. That is what this Revelation 19 is what that song is based on. Also in chapter 19, you'll see that Jesus is represented in two different ways in the book. In the first half of the book, Jesus is presented as the Lamb. We've talked about this a lot as we've gone through the book. But towards the latter half of the book, Jesus is represented as a rider on a white horse. I think sometimes we can get a little bit confused by this image because it's kind of a weird image. We've got a sword and flames and faces that shine like the sun. I think we want Jesus to be the one who vanquishes our enemies, but I don't think that's where the grace is in this part of the story. The grace is actually in this image of the Lamb. The rider on the white horse comes back into the scene to clear the way for the Lamb. There's a celebration in the heavens, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. What this story, no, what the entire book of Revelation is telling us is that if we want the grace, we have to fight for this relationship, because it is through this relationship with Jesus that there is grace. Through this relationship, there is salvation. And we all turn away from this relationship from time to time. We all collaborate with empire from time to time. And we all need to repent from time to time, because it is through this act of repentance that we restore our right relationship with God. I think sometimes we can think of sin as kind of a collection of bad behavior on our part. And I think that's an overly simple understanding of sin. Sin is also a category of relationship. Sin happens when we do the things that separate us from God or that separate us from one another. We all do this from time to time. And the only way to get back in right relationship with God and with one another is to repent. This means, unfortunately, that we will always be working on our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. This means that we have to constantly reach out to people that we have wronged and do the work of repentance to restore those relationships. Now, this is scary, I know. Nobody wants to change. Nobody wants to do the work of repentance. But I do have some good news. We have already started to do this. Friends, when you head over into McFadden, you will see a picnic that took months and months of planning, months of communication, months of changing the way that we typically do things. I am so incredibly proud of everyone who helped make that possible. It would not have been possible pre-pandemic. But friends, the only way that it was possible was when we stepped outside of our comfort zones, when we started thinking and imagining what could it look like for us to gather together, given the restrictions that we are under, so we can hang out with each other, see one another face to face, share a meal, but also keep everybody safe. This is how we live into the grace that's described in Revelation and in the passage from the prophet Ezekiel. This is what it means to be given a new heart and a new spirit. When God grants us a new heart and a new spirit, we are called, we are obligated to put it to use. Repentance is not a single event. It is a continual call to relationships and engagement. Friends, the call is for all of us, not just pastors, not just deacons, not just session members. We all have to practice relationship and serve as witness to God's love for the world. We have to engage with people who maybe think differently than we do, who hold passionate views that are different than ours. We have to learn to speak to them in ways that they can hear and on platforms they inhabit. Only then can we proclaim to them that Jesus is Lord and he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.